Welcome to Manager Tools. This week, how to lay off a direct, part two. The questions this cast answers are, what do I do when laying off an employee? How do I prepare for a layoff? And what should I say when laying someone off? Answers to these questions and more coming up. If you're considering bringing manager tools to your organization, and your organization happens to be one which is overseas to the United States, you may want to try to schedule it when we're already going to be in your general area. We'll be in Europe mid to late June, and Australia late April to early May. And pairing your training with when we'll already be there saves you the travel costs to get us from North America to your location. Don't worry though, if these timeframes don't work for you, we're always willing to support you. There may be additional travel costs, but we're overly willing to attend. So be smart, plan ahead, and for more information, you can reach out to Maggie on our team at maggie@manager-tools.com. We're going to help you guys prepare for these meetings should you be called into one. We want you to be over-prepared should you need to be. So to prepare for our steel cage deathmatch meeting, you need data about results and, to Kate's point a moment earlier, about relationships. This is what you're seeking in your preparation, results and relationships. First thing we want.
As always.
Yeah, exactly. I know. Sounds like us every other day. So the first thing we want is data about results against externally recognized deliverables. This is just the starting point. I mean, this is step number one. It's not enough to just say how good your people are for the stuff they're measured against. We start with the stuff they're measured against, which others who will be in the meeting with us, the manager at this point, see value in. We have to ask ourselves, what are the accomplishments of each of my directs that are going to be of particular value to the other people in the steel cage deathmatch meeting with me? Persuasive, right? We want to be persuasive. So you've got to think about all of those things your directs have done that others will see value in. Others will say, oh my gosh, yes, that thing, I was so good, or that, yes, I need more of that, those kinds of things.
And we've been talking about this a lot recently, y'all. We've been talking about measuring. We've been talking about looking at what your directs are doing, performance. We've been talking a lot about performance communication. However, we've been talking about setting goals as well. Mm-hmm. All of those particular goal settings, those, you know, oh yeah, we got to measure this, we got to talk about this performance. Those are places where you could be focusing here. And so this is all of a piece. You think about your team, you think about its outputs, you think about what your people are doing and how we measure it and what those numbers should be. And in my mind, it's like a Venn diagram. It's like your team does this, this other team overlaps a little bit with it there. And those are the places to look for some of these externally recognized deliverables. Who else is in this meeting? Where's that Venn diagram coming from? Because piece two then is data about results against non-externally recognized deliverables. So what have your people done relative to their core job performance measures that still matter, even if others aren't aware of it, even if it doesn't, you know, the other team doesn't necessarily use that output or it's not in that overlapping Venn diagram. What are people required to do? How well have they done it? Again, performance management or performance measurement, y'all. And then there are things that are done that benefit the team, while important to you, that may not be the metrics that sell this to others who are going to be in the meeting. And we want to be aware of those. We need to know those metrics.
Yeah.
Be very careful about touting results that are not against deliverables if you haven't first made the case for their recognized responsibilities. You know, there's this kind of like recency bias where we have this habit of valuing things in the moment that are helpful or make sense. Here, we want to look at the bigger picture to make sure that whatever we're touting to others, especially in this meeting, has value beyond our narrow view. Not just things that you as a manager value in your people, things that are measurable to other people that you can, I guess, relate to these other people who are attending this meeting is another way for me to say that. Because we're starting with data and we just have to choose things that first are externally recognized deliverables, and then second are non-externally recognized deliverables. So these are two things to know about your people and their output, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's weaknesses, which, okay, hey, you didn't think we weren't going to talk about what else you need to write down. Our peer managers, our boss, they'll all have a sense of the weaknesses of our directs. In fact, maybe they have a better sense because we sometimes, yeah. Sometimes you think more like positively about your directs sometimes,
yeah.
Right? Your boss, your peer managers, they know mm-hmm. where your directs have weaknesses. Those weaknesses are often inflicted heavily on your peers, your boss, things like that. What examples can we present that will show that the weaknesses that are perceived, which you need to be aware of, so think back about your relationships with your peer managers and your boss and what they say about your directs. And can you talk through those weaknesses and show that they're not significant enough to act as a mark against them?
Yeah. Acknowledge the weakness, but put a positive spin on the weakness in a way.
We want an awareness of the weakness, and we want either proof that we're working on it or that it's not a huge detriment.
Exactly. The strengths outweigh the weaknesses.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that's the data against their deliverables.
Right. And then there's relationships. So it's not enough to know our directs. It's not enough to know their strengths and weaknesses, which we need to know. It's not enough to know why they deserve the job. It's not enough to know, believe, or even think that in a fair fight, they're the best person to stay or get promoted. We have to have created the relationship between ourselves and our peers so that they'll believe and be able to hear us when we talk about our directs and when we're discussing promotion of our directs. We need them to see our directs as being those beneficial individuals.
Right. We need to have a relationship with our peers that allows us to be convincing,
persuasive. Yeah.
Right. And that means, and it's harder because they're trying to say, oh, my directs are awesome.
Yeah.
And we're trying to say, oh yeah, so are mine.
Yeah.
The first three pieces here about knowing your directs.
Right.
Right. How are your directs doing?
Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Yeah. Then there's the people in the meeting.
Exactly.
So if you're reading this right before the steel cage death match,
mm-hmm.
you may have left out a key part of the persuasive equation.
Yeah. Going back to the pre-wire, right? You may not have gotten to the pre-wire piece of it. And there's nothing we can do about it now. I mean, we are where we are. You haven't got that piece down, and that's okay. Now, hopefully, at this point, again, if you're listening to this right now and you're going into imminently that steel cage deathmatch meeting, you're not going to be running around and trying to find all the data that we've just been talking about. Hopefully, you're going to have some of that under your belt as well. If you've not got that either, we may have a problem. But maybe you're really, really good. Maybe you can pull it off. What would have been better, though, is if you'd have been doing peer one-on-ones all along,
mm-hmm.
having those relationships. The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. Start doing peer one-on-ones right now, even if you do not see anywhere in your near future a steel cage deathmatch meeting or potential layoffs. Start doing them now. You want to have those relationships. And you want to be constantly talking to your boss about your directs, right? You want to be constantly sharing with your manager the value of your directs, sharing your direct wins so that they can tell far, far, far in advance of needing it that your directs are keepers. These things aren't things you can do in the moment. You need to have been doing these over the course of time.
Yeah. This is the time where we've been giving guidance for years about having a strong internal network, having good relationships in your organization and externally. Imagine if you're a manager who has fantastic results. They're just fantastic. If you go into this meeting there is a chance without any internal relationships that your directs will suffer even with fantastic results. You know, you've got your data about their deliverables, internal, external. If you don't have any relationships, there's a chance, and I hate to posit this, what if though nobody likes you and your team? Your metrics are fantastic. If you don't have internal relationships, you could end up in a situation where your directs are suffering because this meeting, people are against you because you don't have any friends.
Yeah, because you don't have any friends.
Yeah.
You don't have the network needed to support your team.
We've said this so many times, y'all. It's not enough to create results. It's not, because at some point, the relationships you have, they're not, you know, from the lower levels, it's viewed as politics. But at some point, the relationships you have become the things that make you and your team able to stay part of the organization or survive layoffs or things like this. This is why we've been saying this whole time, so that you don't suffer in this meeting, because you need friends in this meeting.
That's exactly it.
Genuinely. I mean, if for no other reason. So if you're, I mean, we were talking earlier today, we were in a meeting and we said, high D's win.
Yeah.
Like, there are managers out there who all they care about is results and they love to win. I guess maybe since that manager usually ends up with a retention problem, it doesn't matter to them if their people get laid off. However, think of it this way. If you're a manager who really, really, really cares about results, the people you have now are good at building those results.
Yeah.
You want to keep them for that reason. You will not win this meeting. Mm-hmm. And you like to win, right? You won't win at this meeting if you don't have the right internal relationships. And I'm going to trust that the manager who deeply cares about results is measuring enough to know what to bring to this meeting in terms of their directs metrics. And y'all, we're supposed to be measuring our directs metrics all year long, and we're supposed to be checking in on those. Hopefully you've got some that you know that you can take to this meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And some of that guidance has come out pretty recently, but we want to work with our boss to have a good relationship. We want to work with our peers. With your boss, if your boss isn't doing one-on-ones with you, you can ask for a weekly update meeting.
Mm-hmm.
There's a cast for that. If you can't get that, we understand. Send your boss a monthly report highlighting your performance and your direct's performances. Sure, she may only look briefly, and it will make a difference.
Yeah.
It'll give some insight, and it's something that probably your peer managers might not be doing.
I was just going to say
that. She has more thought about your directs on a regular basis, semi-regular basis. So that's good. So let's start there. Let's start with improving our relationship with our boss.
Mm-hmm. And with our peers.
Communication. Oh, for sure, with our peers.
More communication with them, right? Reach out to them for peer O3s, which again, we have a podcast for that. And maybe not all of your peers are going to agree to it. Maybe not all of them want it. But some of them are going to want it. And again, to Kate's point, make sure that your directs are part of regular communications so that they're top of mind, if nothing else. All of your peers should know everyone in your team's name and kind of what they're good at and where they're succeeding. Because you want those people to, when it comes to these types of meetings, say, oh my gosh, yeah, I've heard about that person. They must be good. Because there's going to be plenty of peers who have directs, and none of the individuals in that peer group are going to know those people's names. Yeah, I've never heard of that guy. What are you talking about? I never heard of this person. You want your peer or your directs to be top of mind for your peers. And you can't do these things overnight. These sharing all these kinds of things, getting your peers or your directs top of mind with your peers, your directs top of mind with your manager. You can't do it overnight. Start now before you need it.
Yeah. It's like the thing where we say, hey, you should reach out to your network. Mm-hmm. And people don't, because they don't have anything to say. And then when you need to, it's too late. So just do it now, y'all. Send some emails. And this is, as a person who spent a lot of years working in a matrix organization, if you are in an organization that is matrixed, you should be having peer one-on-ones with the other managers whom your team members work for.
Yeah.
You should be supporting your directs that way anyway, because of performance reviews, because of the projects they get assigned to. If you're in a matrix, this is so much more crucial, because in a matrix, you're even going to suffer more in these meetings.
Yeah.
Because the other, like the people who stay, y'all, they might not end up on your team. Mm-hmm. Other managers might end up, yeah, sure, your team member gets retained, but they might end up going to the other side. I've seen it happen. It's not ideal. You should know well enough what your people are working on. And sometimes if you're in a matrix, that's, you don't have a bunch of access to your team members' work. You don't see it all the time. You should be implementing peer one-on-ones in order to sustain those relationships, to sustain the communication, and for you to create understanding in the most basic way at the easiest of times. Now we're talking about when the chips are down. When the chips are down, all those peer one-on-ones are going to make even more sense. It's going to be even more valuable.
And that's exactly it.
Y'all, in a matrix, this is even more complicated.
Yeah. The person that your direct works for is going to love it if you reached out today and said, hey, how's the person that works for me doing on your project? Ooh. Do you want to have a coffee? I don't know. Do you want to chat about it?
I don't know if they'd love it because I think a lot of, I'm thinking of like super technical places. Just do it with an email. I think they, you know, offer to help. Offer coffee.
Yeah, offer to help. Good.
Yeah. Yeah. But let's build a system where we support our directs and the peer managers that we're working with. And it will then benefit us in steel cage deathmatch meetings because we then will have those relationships. Those relationships will be stronger than they currently are. Mm-hmm. And at these meetings, y'all, if you've never been in one, the title, we've said steel cage deathmatch so many times, it's almost lost fear.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound scary. Listen to those words though, y'all. I mean,
it's real. There's teeth.
There's teeth.
Watch out for the teeth. Exactly. So another area not to lose sight of in preparation for the steel cage deathmatch meeting is checking for open positions elsewhere in the company that the folks on your team might be right for should it be required. It's unlikely. I mean, if there are layoffs going on within your organization, it's probably unlikely that there are openings in other parts, but not impossible. And it should always be part of your process, one of the items on your checklist. And folks, if you haven't been thinking this the entire time as we've been talking, you're going to want to create a checklist. These instances don't happen very often. That is us needing to prepare for layoffs and therefore therefore we often suffer from the Christmas rule. That is because it happens rarely. We haven't a process and therefore are terrible at it. What that means is you should be coming up with a playbook. I mean, as you're listening to this podcast, a checklist, a playbook, what are the things that I need? One of the things to put on that checklist in that playbook is, are there open positions in other areas of the organization? Because you want to be sure that you're aware of all of the opportunities that your folks could meet should something happen.
Yeah, if you have it on your checklist and there is a time when it works out and there's a opening in another city or something, then, hey, you won't miss it.
Yeah,
which exactly. Means, you know, you just have that extra layer. So look for open positions elsewhere in the company. And then again, prep before the meeting, meet with your peer managers and make cases for your key people. Mm-hmm. Top performer, you know, maybe your second and third guy.
Yep.
Think about your key people, prepare your cases. Mm-hmm. Ask for your peer manager's support during the meeting.
Yep.
And offer your support for their valued team members during the same meeting. We're essentially trading votes here.
Yeah. Favor economy. This is a favor economy. You got to have each other's back.
Absolutely. You cannot fight this fight alone.
No.
And especially because there are other more experienced managers who are supporting each other, who have been here before and who are prepared enough based on their experience to know that trading favors is the way to go about this. And if they're going to trade, we're going to trade. And we're going to do this because it means keeping our people. It's not even a trade, a favor for ourselves, although right. It will benefit us. And of course, that is accurate. It's a trade. It's a favor economy benefiting our directs.
Exactly. We're protecting the folks on our team.
As best we can.
Exactly. As best we can.
And there's another option here, too, that is really something that might be valuable to people. There's a cast, of course, for creating baseball cards for your people to help you keep the details straight and to know things about them. And if you haven't been through the baseball card exercise, it's an Executive Tools podcast. It's very, very helpful. It's not easy. I would suggest it asks a lot of a manager in terms of being honest about a person and their capabilities and credentials. And if you haven't done it, you might consider it and then consider using those, updating those. It might even be a time, like if you don't think layoffs are coming for you, consider doing the baseball card
exercise.
I almost said experiment. That's not right. Exercise. Close, but not the same. Consider doing the exercise and then shoring up those maybe weaknesses that you see for your team members and shoring up maybe your own weaknesses in measuring against their internally and externally delivered or recognized deliverables, because we're going to take those to this meeting.
That's exactly it.
So we're going to prepare for the meeting, for the horrible, horrible meeting.
For the horrible, horrible meeting.
Hey, y'all. If you're thinking about coming to see us, we'd love to have you at our Phoenix event, March 14th and 15th, for an Effective Manager and Effective Communicator Conference. Also, added bonus, if you're a baseball fan, spring training is happening in Phoenix. And if you've never been to a game and sat out on the lawn with your favorite team playing, it's a great experience. And you can pair it with some manager tools stuff. March 14th and 15th, EMC, ECC in Phoenix, Arizona. Register online at manager-tools.com/training.
Something to keep in mind, I want to say a theme that runs through all of this, because again, you might have heard musings, there might have been a whiff of something's coming down the pipeline. Know that it's okay to acknowledge rumors. Now, there are frequently rumors, I'm going to say, about a lot of things and a lot of organizations a lot of the time, but layoffs is also one of those things. Mm-hmm. Layoff rumors are something that is pretty common. And while we hate it, and we'll discuss that in our section on confidentiality, essentially, but this is in Fantasy Tools, okay? So we're manager tools, which means we know that rumors are a reality in layoff-type situations. And frankly, this goes back a little bit to what Kate said, when we're talking about productivity and getting results, productivity plummets when the word layoff is used in hallway conversations.
And yeah, it always is.
Yeah, it always is. It always happens. Rumors are going to happen and productivity is going to plummet. And some of your team, and probably pretty soon all of your team members, are going to know that a possible layoff is coming. Now, interestingly, some of your team members will prepare for it. Some of your team members won't prepare for it. Some are going to start circulating resumes and putting out feelers in their network, and others are just going to sit and wait to see if they're on the list. But that's besides the point.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, rumors will happen and productivity will plummet.
So our recommendation is acknowledge the existence of rumors.
Mm.
Say, yes, I've heard the rumors. But this is as far as you can go. That's what you get to say. Yeah. This is Manager Tools. Here's what you say. Yes, I've heard the rumors. Despite all of the encouragement we've given you about building great relationships with your team members, don't confuse those relationships with the fundamental nature of your role. Managers represent their organizations.
Mm-hmm.
And your first loyalty must be to the organization in this area, in all areas. And especially here. So we say, yes, I've heard the rumors. It's okay to acknowledge the rumors. And that's it.
Yeah.
Because we are setting an example of confidentiality.
Mm-hmm.
And all layoff actions of any type are always 100% confidential.
That's absolutely it.
If you're ever in doubt as to what to say about layoffs with anybody in the organization at any time, your prime directive is very simple. Layoffs are off limits for communication. Full stop.
Exactly. And folks, this is, I know that not all people love it, but we've got a podcast. Our guidance is you can't be friends with your directs. And this is why. Because a friend tells their friend when layoffs are coming, dude, you're on the list. But you can't do that. We can't do that as managers. It's why you can't be friends with your directs. And planning for layoffs, thinking about layoffs, being in meetings about layoffs, sharing what you read about layoffs, any number of those items, all of it is considered completely unprofessional and unethical when we're talking about our managerial responsibilities to the organization for which we work.
Yeah. And I want to go back a little bit to the friends thing, because I think people, I know people hate when we say that. I would say another thing that to keep in mind, y'all, is that as a manager, you control your direct addiction to food and clothing and shelter. Mm-hmm. And that is not something a friend controls for someone. When you're a friend, you don't have control over whether or not someone can pay their mortgage. And when you are a manager, you do.
Yeah.
So bear in mind that that responsibility upon yourself negates the friendship relationship. And to Sarah's point, you don't get to talk about some of this stuff, any of it really, with your directs. We know a lot of senior executives. Some of them have been through several layoffs. And they'll admit, hey, we just kind of assume everybody knows that you're not supposed to talk about this, that there is a prime directive of 100% confidentiality. And so sometimes they don't tell anybody, hey, you know what? You're not allowed to say anything. This is totally confidential. It's, you can't talk about it. And so then they get amazed, like, oh my gosh, how are these questions even coming up?
Right. Like, how are people asking this?
Yeah. So there's just some, sometimes it's a bit surprising. Oh my gosh, why would people even ask this? Because of course the assumption is everybody knows we have 100% confidentiality on any layoff actions, but that just doesn't happen. So you're going to get some questions sometimes. And we're going to tell you how to handle them, which is, you guys are, I hope this is helpful, because it's, man, it's just the layoffs, it's so sad. It's such a disheartening topic.
Oh, it is.
In a way.
It is.
And we just want you guys to be prepared. We just want to help you to know what to do and what to say, even in the hardest times. I mean, Sarah said, it's not fantasy tools. It's not. This isn't fantasy tools. And because if we were in the fantasy, there would never be layoffs. We would never have to say these things.
Exactly.
Because, for example, a question you might get, okay, can I tell my staff that we're at least talking about it? They already know.
No, you cannot. The answer is no. So if you're an executive and your direct is a manager and they say, can I tell my directs? They already know. No. The answer is no. Can I mention to my top folks that they're okay just in case they've heard something?
No.
No. No.
That's the answer. And let's be clear, you don't know if they're okay.
Yeah.
You might not. You don't know, and your direct doesn't know, because they might not be.
Right.
Okay. Can I swear them to secrecy and then share some broad outlines?
No. No. All of the layoff planning is completely and utterly confidential. Breaching that covenant is dangerous enough. Managers and executives have been terminated for doing it. Rightly so. No matter what was discussed in the meetings, every topic related to layoffs is under complete confidentiality of that meeting. Even admitting that the meeting was about layoffs is completely inappropriate. Never mind what was talked about during the meeting. The topic of the meeting is confidential. So no, you can't share any information with anybody about anything ever.
I think that there are people who are maybe struggling with this, and I also think there are people who don't know. Being a manager is not necessarily easy. Somebody the other day, I was in a call with somebody, an executive, and they said, I don't know that they pay us enough money to do the things that we have to do. And if you're having that experience right now, or you're thinking somebody couldn't pay me enough money to do this, We understand.
Yep.
We do. We are trying to make it easier for you. We want you to know what to do. It does not mean it's going to be easy. This is hard. Sometimes it is heartbreaking. You are going to suffer emotionally through this process. And one of the ways you're going to suffer is having to keep for yourself a secret through confidentiality, right? People think of it as a secret. It's simply the organization asking you to fulfill your obligation to them by keeping confidential things that pertain to the organization. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to suffer this. This is why they say it's lonely at the top. You know why it's lonely at the top? Because you know things that other people can't know, and you have to keep them to yourself. And that is a form of loneliness.
Yeah.
You can neither confirm nor deny any questions about layoff planning at any time. Mm-hmm. Zero. You can't share this information with a friend. You can't share it with a top performer who you know is surely protected. You don't know. If you know that, then you haven't been to a steel cage death match, which means you're not probably going to do it well. You can't share it with your admin, even if you need their skills. You can't allow it to be leaked to someone who's unlikely to be cut to reassure them. Mm-mm. You can't, because you don't know.
No. To go a step further, you can't even discuss a layoff with a spouse. That's how deep this goes. Of course you can't share it with your admin. You can't share it with your spouse. They're probably going to have relationships with other spouses of people who work at the company. And you tell your spouse tells someone else's spouse, and it starts the rumor within the organization because those people talk to each other. Yeah, you can acknowledge that there are rumors, but that's about as far as it goes. And to be clear, when we say you can't tell your spouse, we're not lying to our spouse. We're protecting our spouse when we aren't putting them in a position where, because we've already said it, you're going to have information you can't tell people. We're preventing them going through that same harm. To Kate's point, it's hard. Why would we visit that same ill upon someone that we love? You don't want your spouse to have to be in that same position. And the way we protect them is creating a situation where they don't have to lie to someone about what they know or they don't know. That's all for this week, folks. Join us next week for part 3 of the series on how to lay off a director.